Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Are you hungry? We've got some rabbit.
I don't want to steal your food.
You're not stealing, we're offering. Come on, it's going to be a cold night. You heading south?
King's Landing.
Poor girl.
Not so bad, is it?
Depends on your taste, I guess. If you like your streets covered in shit and pig's blood, it's the town for you.
And if you like your streets covered in that kind of stuff, then Game of Thrones is the TV show for you as well. It's back. And to tell us more about it in detail is James Dempsey, our resident TV critic. Good afternoon, James. How are you?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
That is one of the most anticipated TV moments of the year, isn't it?
Definitely. And, you know, that's sort of underscored by the fact that it airs in the UK and Ireland at exactly the same time as it airs in the US. So for the real, I guess, super Game of Thrones fans, they get up at 2 a.m. to watch it. I'm not quite that loyal in my TV viewing. I waited until the next morning and then couldn't make out a single thing on the screen because it was a really bright, hot day on Monday. And my living room is white, and the entire episode was based at night, and I was looking at an audio drama for about an hour. But I still actually found the opening episode perfectly fine. There were a lot of complaints.
Just perfectly fine.
Yeah, I thought, you know. So here you have an opening episode for the penultimate season of fundamentally the biggest TV show in the world.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of expectation, considering there's only 13 episodes left, that each one is going to be bigger, bolder, more action-packed. But the truth is, what's so good about Game of Thrones is the plot, more so than the action. The action, you know, buttresses the plot. So you have to set up everything that's going on. And we haven't seen the show in 15 months. I think, you know, it's been a delayed start to come back this year. And because of that, you need to sort of remind everybody where who everyone is, what, you know, what factions they're in, who they're supporting, and so on and so forth. And I thought it did that admirably. I thought it opened with a great, fantastic scene, which, you know, I'm loath to spoil anything here, so I'm not going to. Even though everyone who wants to see it, I'm sure, has seen it.
I think Game of Thrones is the show that the words plot spoiler has really, you know, emerged from. Because the people are watching it in so many different timelines. There are people who are still years behind that.
Yes.
It's just you can't even mention it without saying, you know, plot spoiler. What are you doing? What are you trying to ruin this for?
And at least now everyone who is up to date is on the same page. Because for a long time, obviously, I'm sure many people know, the series is based on a series of fantasy books, A Song of Ice and Fire, or Fire and Ice, I can't quite remember, by George R. R. Martin. And as of last season, the TV show overtook the books in terms of plot development. So now everyone is blind going forward, although I'm sure those who have read the books will say that they have a more learned experience and have perhaps a greater insight into where the story could potentially go than the rest of us. But as an hour of, you know, TV, I thought it was perfectly entertaining. I thought it was very well acted. I thought it was very stylish as well. I thought it was a real showcase of kind of the production values and the money that HBO throws at this, because you saw big sets that are all up in Belfast or all around Northern Ireland anyway. Gorgeous costumes, very nice special effects. And I liked it.
Yeah, I think I was much more impressed than you.
Okay.
I felt the 15 months. I felt times where I was going, which one is she again? And why is this room so significant? And why did she grow up here or something? There's loads of these moments where I'm going,
okay,
should I have done a crash course in this beforehand?
Yeah.
And then I have to say, the Ed Sheeran moment, that was just very odd.
A lot of people complained that there were so many complaints about it, that this cameo, and it had been announced before that he was going to cameo in the series. So my first reaction was, I was actually glad that they got his cameo over and done with so quickly, that, you know, that's it, and hopefully he won't appear in any more episodes. But to me, it didn't take me out of the episode at all, because in the episode I watched flying dragons.
Did you not find that it was a bit like watching, you know, a movie set in, you know, prehistoric times where someone's wearing a digital watch, because you're watching this, you know, weird world where suddenly there's Ed Sheeran, he's doing Five Nights Next Year in Croke Park.
What I thought was noteworthy about it as a cameo is other musicians have cameoed in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So you've had Sigur Rós and Gary Lightbody.
Did Gary Lightbody appear?
Yeah, and Mastodon, the heavy metal band, were there at some point as well. And all of their cameos, so perhaps, right, they're not as immediately recognisable, we'll say, as Ed Sheeran, one of the biggest pop musicians in the world right now. But
to put things mildly.
Yeah, okay. And a divisive figure at that as well.
Yeah.
But what I think why it sort of grated people more so than it grated me was it wasn't like a very natural cameo. It was a very showy cameo.
He was singing.
He was singing.
And he said,
I mean, the rest of them were singing as well, though.
Yeah, but he's Ed Sheeran singing. And he says, it's a new one. It's one I've just written. God, it's like an ad break during Game of Thrones.
I found the scene actually quite a good scene apart from that, because what was interesting about that scene was it sort of was moving Arya around the, you know, around Westeros, but it also gave a bit of character to the nameless soldiers who all get killed, you know, in their hundreds throughout the season, because you don't ever get to hear from them.
And no.
It was kind of like in Star Trek where, you know, the red shirt goes off and gets killed, and these are Lannister forces who are wearing red as well, and they're all going off to get killed as well. I actually thought it was quite a good and touching scene. They were just talking about their families.
But the public were so annoyed. He's off Twitter now. He's pulled out of
Twitter. Well, he has now denied that he's come off that again. But yes, so he deleted his Twitter account because of some nice online hatred and invective.
The general public doesn't seem to have liked it anyway. His cameo is the stupidest cameo ever. He's too well known. Why not throw in Daniel Radcliffe and Jay-Z into next week's episode? Sure, while you're at it. Beyonce is in next week's episode, I've heard. That was just one moment where it's obviously something they do because they've had other guests, but
yes.
I found that a bit jarring. But that aside, I take there was a lot of exposition had to go on because there are all these different worlds that are now coming together, aren't they?
Finally, we're now reaching a point where all the principal players are on the same landmass, which is a lot to be said for Game of Thrones, which is, you know, a continental spanning show.
Yeah.
And now they're all in Westeros finally. So I am intrigued to see where it goes. I'm excited. I won't be getting up at 2 a.m, but, you know, I'll be avoiding the internet the day after until I see the
show. It's been a very slow last year, season. I was getting slightly critical of it, saying it's just taken so long to make progress, and then the last few episodes became unbelievable. But this time I'm getting more of a sense of it ending. I'm thinking there are these different threads that now finally have to start.
And also there's just storylines that also, there's fewer characters left because simply they've died along the way or been killed or murdered, and horribly so. So you're left with these fewer than before. Their stories are beginning to wrap up, and I do think there is a sense of moving into the final chapter, definitely.
Yeah. Do you, how highly do you rate it, as a matter of interest?
I rate it very highly. I really think it is, I really, really enjoy it because it is funny. It's big and bold and action packed and funny. It has really good one-liners peppered throughout all the episodes, and I think it's a really good example of how to stage this big mythical fantasy drama in such a way that's engaging to the audience, because they kill their darlings, which is exciting and interesting, and then they pepper it with really funny lines. There's plenty of violence and brutality, and
a lot.
And there's also a lot of questions about, you know, representations of women and their role in the series, and certainly it almost looks like this season is kind of a counteracting point to that, because previously we've seen women brutalized in many ways, and now it's kind of like the women are really in the seats of power.
There are more of them
in
the upper echelons than there are in the BBC
That's true.
League of salary list. That is for sure.
Yes.
They really are.
Although it's about as ethnically diverse.
I would say it is, Game of Thrones may have surpassed The Sopranos as HBO's biggest crowd puller, but the other night proves it's not in the same league. It's jumped the shark with Sheeran. Long live Tony Soprano. Yeah, you couldn't imagine some kind of...
I think jumping the shark is pushing it.
It is a bit. It hasn't jumped the shark.
No.
I think it was a bit of a misstep.
Yeah, I will accept that.
But it hasn't jumped the shark.
No.
For me, it still remains excellent. And when it came to the end of the episode, I just felt, don't be over. Please. Is Aidan Gillen still that he is? And he's still absolutely great, isn't he?
He has a funny attitude towards his accent. It is very changeful, is that a word? Changing,
yes.
Anyway.
I think that has been well established when people talk about him. I think accents, I don't know, he'd probably kill you if he said it, but it mightn't be his strong point.
Okay. But I still think he brings something to that role.
Evil.
He's got a kind of... true.
Isn't he?
He's got a plotting kind of despicableness.
You wouldn't trust him.
You wouldn't.
With anything. No. Which is the whole quality to him. It is great to finally see those threads. It must be the most ambitious TV drama of all time, is it?
Yeah, and it's intriguing to see where they'll go next with it, because obviously with only 13 episodes left, HBO wants another cash cow to come. So they have already lined up four different writers to write prequel seasons. Not all of them will be made, if even any of them, but you could understand why they would be betting big on that kind of fantasy world, because it has been so successful since 2011. And then D.B. Weiss and Benioff, who are the showrunners, who met actually in Trinity when they were doing Masters
Dublin.
Yeah. They have already signed up with HBO for a follow-up show called Confederate, which is going to be about a kind of the US facing its third civil war. It's going to be set in modern day, but it'll be about sort of how the Confederate states had, you know, seceded, and how the slave trade still goes on in the modern world. So that's what's coming from them next.
Right. Sounds interesting. Do we know what they were doing Masters in Trinity, by the way?
I do not, I'm afraid.
That's an interesting one for us now. A question asking you, who does James think will win in the end? I haven't read any of the books, but I'm enjoying not knowing what's to go. Well, no one knows what's to go.
No one knows. And I don't want it to be a nice, happy ending either. I want it to kind of fulfill its remit of constantly leaving you in suspense, and I think a neat ending would be disappointing. So I don't know, and I don't want to know, but I just want it to be thrilling.
If you start to think that some of these characters are on thin ice now, who do you think is next to go? Because I mean, at this point, if they start killing off more main characters, and these are the inner circle.
Obviously nobody knows. I feel Arya is not going to make it to the final season. That is my gut.
Okay, that's Maisie Williams.
Yes. Right. I don't think she's going to make
it. Peter Dinklage,
I think, will, although there's a lot of speculation. So, right, I don't want to do any spoiling, but there was talk about when Euron Greyjoy, who's Pilo Aspect from Borgen and the Eurovision.
He was very unusual. It was another slight misstep. He was like a cameo
they had
from
given
some
him
weird
a,
detective
and they,
series.
They had given him a bit of a makeover since the end of the last season, and he suddenly looked like, you know, a bit of an aging rocker, actually. And
Blackadder has a character like him in it. He kind of comes in and, you know, shifts his trousers around the place a bit in this kind of threatening way. It was a bit of that, wasn't it? You've been waiting for this!
Yes, exactly. So he promised to bring Cersei a present, and there's some speculation.
We know what present it was he was bringing to bring her.
Well, it was Tyrion. That's what the internet is saying.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it could be. Jon Snow, he's dead already, but, you know.
No, I think he'll go the distance because, because he, you know, we're setting him up for the fight against the White Walkers. So I think he's definitely going to make it to the end.
There was one of the grimmest scenes ever, which is the guy whose name I can't remember, but who's has killed a White Walker in his time and is now cleaning out toilet pots.
Yeah, Sam.
Sam. That was pretty grim, wasn't
Bookish
it?
Sam, yes, cleaning out bedpans.
Boy. Vision of hell. But, yeah, that's right. Who else have they got left? Daenerys Targaryen. I hope she wins.
I think it would be too obvious for her to win. Yeah, because she's just this paragon of everything she does is right, and she's, you know, frees the slaves and everything. She's a wonderful queen, and she
has a way about her.
She can do no wrong.
She was like Pope John Paul II when she got down, put the hands on wasn't she? She has a vibe of it. I can't see her going far wrong. Cannot. And she has three dragons as well. So 53106 for your texts. We have loads more to come. I'm going to be taking a look at TV news and a little bit more after this.
Now, here's what I'm going to do. Over the next 2 days, I'm going to try to pull together $8 million to pay back what Bruce stole. What we're not going to
do. Do we even have that much?
Well, it's going to be tight. I mean, after early withdrawal penalties, I don't know, but I'm going to try. What we're not going to do, though, is panic, okay? All right, starting first thing tomorrow morning after we tell the kids that we're moving, we're going to call your friend Linda, the realtor, and we're going to list the house. And then you're going to call the moving company. And then you and the kids are going to pack. You can either help them or just let them do it themselves. I don't really care. But come Friday after school, we're on the road. Okay, that's it.
Little clip from Ozark, which is streaming, season one streaming on Netflix from tomorrow. Tell us about it. James Dempsey, our resident TV critic, is still with us. James, what's all this?
This is kind of come out of nowhere. They only sort of announced, or the trailer maybe came out about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago. And it's coming out at a kind of difficult crossroads, I should say, in Netflix kind of production schedule, because they had a great run of years. And then in the last 6 months, I would say a lot of people would feel like the quality of programming has dipped significantly as they sort of rushed to release something new almost every single week. So I watched three episodes of this with some trepidation, because each of them is an hour long and I hate committing a full hour to an unknown quantity, because, you know, it's three hours gone and I don't know how it's going to go.
The same way, and I think what you're saying there is very true for loads of people, that they're very good at doing a kind of pre-release heightened excitement. Like I think of Fortitude in particular, where the posters look amazing, the cast looks amazing.
I didn't like Fortitude at all.
Nor did I. And you can be 5 or 6 hours into this before you're starting to go,
why
this
am I doing
actually
this?
Isn't good. There isn't going to be a twist.
That's right. Yeah,
so
this comes with some good pedigree attached to it, right? Yeah. So not so much in who made it. That's a man named Bill Dubuque, who made a movie last year with Ben Affleck called The Accountant, which I thought was one of the most unintentionally funny movies of the year. And he comes along here with Jason Bateman, who people will know of Arrested Development fame, and Laura Linney, who of course people will know. And they played the birds, Marty and Wendy. And Marty is a financial advisor based in Chicago, but he's also at the same time a money launderer for a Mexican drug cartel. So he's got this kind of lovely suburban family life with an undercurrent of, you know, criminality. Now, so far, so Breaking Bad, we've seen that kind of thing before. And, you know, there's no getting around that, right? You have seen this kind of thing before. What I liked about it a lot was I thought the first episode was really tense and really like not having a clue where this is going. Some very big twists and turns were coming throughout the episode that I really, really enjoyed. And fundamentally what happens is you're going to have to get the Bird family relocating from Chicago to Lake of the Ozarks, which is this kind of Riviera isn't the right word, but it's in Missouri. It's this kind of long, twisting river that has kind of fjords coming out of it. And it is a bit of a rundown kind of holiday resort in Missouri. Yeah. And he has to go down to this place, and in order to get $8 million that have been stolen from a cartel and launder it for the cartel again. So he relocates the whole family and then runs against sort of the local criminal activity that's going on down there while struggling to maintain his family, keep them safe, and also launder the money. So I found it very tense and very well acted across the board. I was really struck by Jason Bateman, actually, because, you know, I know him from comedic things. I love him in Arrested Development, but really in that he plays more of the straight man than the comedian. But in this, I found him very affecting, and I've seen three of the 10 hours. I don't want to completely, you know, back it to the hilt because there's you know, 7 hours is a long time to go.
It could still go badly wrong yet.
What's interesting about it is they bring in a character named Ruth, played by Julia Garner, who people might know from a movie with Lily Tomlin called Grandma. And she was in a few episodes of The Americans as well as Kimmy, who is this girl that Philip was sort of grooming in a terrible, horrible sort of side mission in The Americans, which I love. And she plays Ruth, who's this kind of 19-year-old, almost like a matriarch of a crime family down there, even though she's so young. And she's a real kind of interesting character to watch, because we have seen male anti-heroes before. We haven't seen 19-year-old girls you know, ruling the roost. And there's a lot to be said for her performance. She's this, you know, she's quite doll-like. Yeah. She's very fine-featured and small and sort of ringlets. She's like a Shirley Temple, you know, but like an anarchist. Wow. It's incredible. So I recommend it for her alone.
That is some description. That is recommended. That's streaming on Netflix tomorrow. It's called Ozark. One little bit of TV news before we look at how to make money. Judge Reinder coming up in a second. The voice of Kermit has been fired after 27 years.
Yeah, so this guy named Steve Whitmore, he inherited the role when Jim Henson passed away, presumably 27 years ago. And he has been voicing Kermit, and everyone knows Kermit's voice since, you know, for 3 decades since. And he announced himself that he had been let go from the Henson company. I particularly liked this story because it involved as well a statement from Muppet Bosses, which I I thought was nicely put.
You can't even criticise them. Bunch of Muppets.
Yeah,
that's what they are.
But he revealed that he had been fired without giving any reason or cause. Then the Muppet bosses came out and said that he'd been complaining or had been acting unprofessionally for a very long time, and he hadn't been answering any of their feedback and so on and so forth. So they let him go with the blessing of the Henson family. And I guess it's at the end of the day, it is a business,
yeah.
And already someone has stepped in. So the new voice of Kermit is Matt Vogel, who has previously voiced Big Bird and the Count on Sesame Street.
Well, he had previous, suddenly. I wonder when he's going to step into the shoes and will we notice a different Kermit voice?
Yeah, but I also am wondering, what are we getting from Kermit of late anyway? I mean, they had a failed TV show last year or the year before. I can't quite remember. That's already been axed. I don't know if there's a third movie in the pipeline in the sort of revamped, rebooted, relaunched franchise. So
he's got
some time to perfect his Kermit voice, I'd say.
Mystery and intrigue in the world of the Muppets, though, isn't it? Unacceptable business conduct, what some of the Muppet bosses said. Judge Reinder, that's on catch-up on TV3, and that is essentially a UK version of Judge Judy, isn't it?
Is right, yeah. So it's kind of an interesting one because this kind of format is very strange. So he's not a judge, he is a barrister. He is a qualified barrister. He's also, bizarrely, he is Benedict Cumberbatch's best friend. Benedict Cumberbatch married him. He was his minister when he married his male partner.
Well, I'm intrigued by this man. So we have a clip of him to give people a sense of what he is like, Judge Rinder.
Let's look at those text messages if we can. Now, is this you, Alan?
That is.
Hi, Jade. I know we're friends, but there is something I need to tell you as it's eating away at me. You know you owe me £600 and we have hardly spoke about it, but you need to know it's making me not want to continue our friendship, so I've contacted Judge...
That's spell checker's fault, that is.
That's spell checker's fault. Well, yes, there are all sorts of unfortunate things when you type my name into spell checker. It's all right. I need to get into my listen pose. This is the high point of my day's court sitting.
You're such a clown. Judge Rinder, though. Come on, Al. If that's a threat, you could have chosen a better judge. Or is Judy not willing to take on your case?
The reason Judge Judy wouldn't be willing to take it on is that after 18 years, she's the highest paid TV star in the world, 47 million a year.
Yeah, about annually, that's how much she's
That would get your
banking.
Attention, wouldn't it?
It would. So this is, you know, it is aped on that style of show. So he's not a judge, he's a binding arbiter. The other thing you need to know as well is that all of the people who feature on the show are paid to feature, and then any financial award that is settled or, you know, is also paid by the show. So everyone involved in the show,
it's win-win,
except for their reputation, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I guess they put a small price on that.
Jeremy Kyle goes through my mind.
It is. So when you're watching a show like this, there's no getting around that there is a palpable sense of exploitation of working class people. Who, I mean, all of the problems are fundamentally the same. Somebody lent somebody money. Somebody gave somebody money. They want the money back. They are poor working class people and they're on the show and they're active participants. So they're not, you know, they know what they're getting involved
in. That's not very nice, is it?
No, it's not very nice. At the same time, what the show argues is that it is showing... It argues, and Rinder himself argues, that whereas in Judge Judy, she's, you know, this very bombastic, you know, woman who judges things on an emotional level. He's saying he specifically is applying British law to every case, and that he is fundamentally trying to inform people how to be sort of more mindful when they enter into any kind of financial arrangement of the kind of things they need to do to protect themselves. Now, that's a nice spin.
Yeah, the former editor of the Daily Mail wasn't available to take this film, was
it? I don't think so. Yeah, listen, this is not appointment TV. Yesterday I was watching it while I was doing my laundry and hand washing.
Did you feel you needed to have a shower after?
I'd already wrung my hands out enough anyway. So no, for in the background, it was fine.
Yeah,
but is it
exploitive though? Because if you are putting people on and there is a bit of looking at them and thinking, look how awful they are.
Yeah, no, it is true. But that is the case in a lot of daytime and even summertime television. You know, you get that in Love Island, you get that in Big Brother, you get that in all reality TV. People are not ashamed to put themselves out there. You know, shamelessness is the new sort of fame, basically. Yeah. So,
but it's the attraction for the audience.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. You know. So I suppose the idea is, while watching this, you have a personal sense of self-satisfaction and, you know, yeah, betterment.
I'm not them. A woman is being paid that amount. Poor Judge Rinder getting a bad deal there in the pay gap. $47 million dollars a year.
Well, the highest paid TV star in the world. Yeah.
She has a way of doing that, Judge Judy, that acts as if it's just something she does after her normal court appearances for a bit of crack, or just, you know, to help publicise the judiciary or something like that.
Yeah, very much
not so. For $47 million. Wow. Excellent stuff. James, thanks very much for that.
Thanks, Tom.
Pleasure talking to you as always.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.